Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Fitness Canter Podcast. I am joined today by Christina Gonzalez. She is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt, not to be confused with black belt. And also, she is a performance coach. And we got linked up through a name you'll probably all recognize if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, PJ Nessler. So obviously, everybody knows how much I respect him and like him as a coach and a person. So as soon as he reached out and said, hey, you need to get a hold of Christina, I did immediately, or at least within 24 hours. But so Christina, welcome to the show. I appreciate you taking the time to share some knowledge with everybody. So tell us your background, how you got into, let's say, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and then transitioning into performance coaching.
Sure. So I actually started training jiu-jitsu about 6 years ago or so. I've always had an interest in like kind of combat sports, martial arts. I grew up doing karate actually with my brother. I did that for about 14 years. Stopped while I was an undergrad and doing my master's degree. And actually, as I started my master's is when I picked up jiu-jitsu. And I totally fell in love with it. Actually, if it's safe to say, I actually enjoy it a lot more than I ever enjoyed karate too. There's just something about the way you feel doing it. Like there's just, you can never stop learning in jiu-jitsu. It kind of blows my mind a little bit. And it's funny because something I actually really enjoyed when I first picked up jiu-jitsu was that I didn't have to be an instructor. I could just show up and train, show up to a class, be a student, you know, train hard and leave. Because my first job was actually coaching karate. And I did that for 4 years. Well, go figure, after maybe about, I want to say a year and a half, at the most two, I started coaching jiu-jitsu also, which is awesome. I've, you know, kind of discovered that coaching is a huge passion of mine, even as a young teen, and that being my first job, you know, I could show up to teach a class and just have a great time and forget about anything else going on in life and just enjoy what I was doing and seeing the progress of my students, and it was great. So been competing and training jiu-jitsu for 6 years. I competed a lot when I was first started out. Probably my first 3 or 4 years of jiu-jitsu, I was competing a lot more actively than I am now. But about 2 years into it or so, a black belt buddy of mine actually was looking for some strength training. And I'm not quite sure. I think he just was searching coaches in the area, and he found PJ out in Irvine. And he had told me, he's like, oh yeah, I found this guy. I'm going to go check him out and just see what he's about. And so the next day I hit up my friend. I said, hey, so how did it go with that guy? And he's like, oh, he's awesome. Like we're actually talking about starting a jiu-jitsu group for strength and conditioning. Is that something you'd be interested in? And I'd never really done, you know, any real formal lifting of any kind. Other than like your high school shenanigans.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, not a whole lot of real. Real direction there. I went and checked it out, and you know, that was 4 years ago, and then now I'm working for him. Needless to say, it's something that I found was like really empowering for me. Even having done martial arts my whole life and being a fairly confident woman, you know, I picked up the strength training and just saw a huge, huge difference in my life, which we'll get into later. But after now training for the 4 years, and PJ is talking about, you know, hiring another coach and all this. And, you know, I've been training with him 2 to 3 days a week, every week for the last 4 years. So got really familiar with how he does his programming and, you know, how to move well, how to eat well, how to program all this stuff. And so when the opportunity came up, at first I'm thinking, I don't know, like I don't have the educational background for it. And it's something I had thought about a couple of years back. I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't go that route. Cause even though I earned my degrees, it has nothing to do, you know, with the scientific background for like exercise physiology or kinesiology or anything like that. But I said, you know what? Like I love this. I'm in the gym pretty much every day already. You know, it's something that I'm passionate about and I love coaching. So I decided, you know, I'm just going to tell them, say, hey, well, what about me? And it kind of worked out to where he had a couple other people in mind, and then they both kind of fizzled. And then he was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. He's like, are you serious about it? Do you really want to do it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And I actually I messaged him later that night after we talked about it. And I said, hey, you know what? I know I wasn't your first choice, or your top choice, but I'm going to show you why I was the right choice. you know, because it's something, like I said, that I care about. And I'm definitely an individual that when I decide to do something, it's all or nothing. You know, I don't like to half-ass things, and I want to learn about it. So I was really excited. I took the opportunity, and now I'm kind of going things, doing things, I guess, backwards, as most people might see it. But being able to learn from PJ has been one of the greatest blessings for me, being that he's, you know, been in this industry for a very long time, and he does what he does very well. So being able to learn from him on the programming, and then now doing all the studying side of it on my own, to kind of catch up in that realm. But that's about it.
So that, there's a couple different things there. Number one, everybody that I know, and I don't know if I mentioned this when we first talked, but I took Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a short time, and then unfortunately I was injured by a crappy training partner, is basically what it boiled down to. But yeah, I did. So I decided, you know what, it's not worth me trying to get back into right now, and you know, with what I do for a living, personal training, I can't afford, like, you know, nursing another injury. So I stayed away from it. I still have a passion for it. I still like it, but I just don't train with it anymore. But anyway, the one thing that I know is, as soon as somebody gets into it, it's like, holy crap. Like, it just changes your entire, no matter how many times you get tapped. And I got tapped. I tapped out a lot. I should say I tapped out. I think I tapped one person once. And I trained for, it was only like 6 or 7 months, but I got,
it's an exciting feeling.
Oh my God. It's amazing. I was like, you know what? Can I just leave now? I just never want to come back.
Yeah.
But those kind of people, they're all in there. It kind of like overtakes them. So, so tell us a little, when you first started getting into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and not strength training versus when you introduced strength training into your BJJ, what kind of transformations did you start to see?
Sure. So like I mentioned, I've always just been, you know, fairly confident in myself anyhow, growing up doing martial arts, learning how, you know, carrying yourself is very important as to whether you're a victim or not a victim and such. And with jiu-jitsu, you know, I'm also not a very big woman. I'm 5'3", 120 pounds most days. And it's, you know, and it's funny because a lot of people, because I'm so short, think I'm a lot lighter than that actually. And then I tell them how much I weigh and they're like, what? But you know, in jiu-jitsu, that's one thing that I love about it actually, is it's designed for the smaller person. Person can use the leverage of a bigger person against them and win. And it was the same thing for me when I first got in there. It was just very much a whole nother world that I hadn't really experienced before. When the instructors were teaching them, what in the world are you even talking about? They're using this verbiage that was like, what is that? And so, but you just keep showing up and showing up and showing up, and eventually things start to stick. But you're right, those first like 6 months or so, at least, you start to get really good at defense because you get tapped out a lot.
Right.
It's nice, but then it also ends up kind of frustrating because then you get people complimenting you, man, you're really good at defending that. I'm like, thanks, but that's just about all I can do. I can't do anything else. And then one day you're on top of somebody and you're like, wait, well, now what do I do? I'm used to being stuck on the bottom. So that's kind of a fun twist. But even with doing jiu-jitsu, because when I started, I want to say I was probably like maybe 115, 116 pounds at the time. And I did really well, even for that size in tournaments and such. But I just never really felt super strong. Even doing well, like my body composition started changing just doing jiu-jitsu about 3 months in or so. Not a whole lot else changed for me in terms of like what I was doing outside of jiu-jitsu, because I was eating pretty healthy and all that. But just the way I carried, like where my body fat was, where my muscle was, that just from jiu-jitsu alone started to change. But it got to a point where I'm thinking, you know, obviously, like I said, jiu-jitsu is designed for that smaller person, but at some point, size is going to play. It's going to play a factor for sure. Like anyone can say whatever they want. Like, oh no, but it's this. No, when you're 5'3" and you're a woman and you're naturally like off the bat not as strong as the men you're rolling with, it's going to play a lot bigger of a difference. So when that opportunity came to add the strength training, you know, I didn't necessarily know what I was getting myself into. Didn't know what to expect other than I'm going to get stronger. Sure, I'll try it. And man, let me tell you, after, gosh, I don't know, even at least like 4 or 5 months of adding strength training in, people started saying like, dang, Christina, you feel way stronger. I was like, really? Because it's not something that you necessarily like notice right away yourself. And then especially for me too, and it's something that I still joke about with some other jiu-jitsu athletes of mine, it's you kind of think to yourself, like, am I actually stronger than this person, or are they not really trying? And you just have this debate with yourself of like, is that actually me being strong, or what's happening here? But it's something that now, obviously, like, I feel it very much so. And it's nice because when I do roll with new guys, I just started training at a different jiu-jitsu school within the last few months. And so there's still people that I'll roll with on occasion that I hadn't met yet. And so I'll roll with them for the first time. And afterward, without fail, it's, dang, you're really strong. And I'm like, oh. And it's just, oh, well, thank you. And then what cracks me up is afterward, and it's like, no, but really, like, you're really strong. I don't mean for a woman, you're just strong. And to me, it's a huge compliment to me, you know, because like I said, I was never really like out of shape, but I wasn't really particularly strong either before that. And so to feel that and to notice the difference and to feel like I can handle my own on the mat against these bigger, stronger guys, when I couple the strength that I do have with the technique, it's amazing the control that you can have and to be able to actually do well against someone much bigger than you. So,
yeah. So the strength complements all of the techniques. Like, you can be technically sound, obviously you have to be, but as soon as you add strength into the mix, it just elevates, it complements everything else, just like any other sport. Or
exactly,
yeah, it elevates everything. I mean, I got tapped by there was two women in the class regularly of probably, I don't know, there was like 20 or 25 people, and dude, I got tapped by both women. And I'm not a big dude, I weigh 185 pounds, I'm 5 foot 10 and a half, 5 foot 11, I'm like a, you know, on a high arch day, but these women would just manhandle me. I don't know how else to put it, but I tried not to throw myself around, but even if I wanted to, they were so strong and so technical at the same time.
Yeah,
they could, not only could they interpret what was going to happen, but they could just prevent me from doing anything. And one of the women couldn't be any bigger than you are, maybe a little bit taller, but she definitely wasn't over 120-125 pounds.
Yeah.
And top or bottom, she would just run me through the ringer. And I got hurt by someone much larger than her, unfortunately, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, it's just, you add strength training into everything, and everything just amplitudes. So amplitudes, is that a real word?
I think amplifies might have been the one
amplifies,
you were looking for.
Amplifies, yeah. That's all right. Well, if anybody else out there wants to use amplitudes, it's fine. You can use it. It's fine. We can make it up.
You've made it official.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more, because you and I had a really good discussion about being empowered through strength training and feeling different in the changes and the kind of attitude adjustment that comes along with strength training. So tell the listeners a little bit about how you feel in terms of where strength training is headed with women and where you hope to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I got started, let me tell you, I've always been a little bit backwards for a woman in that my upper body is a lot stronger than my lower body, which I feel like for most women is the other way around.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not really sure why that is, even as a swimmer in high school. Like, when it came to kicking, I wouldn't go very far. And when we just had to pull only, I was like way in front of everybody. So when I first got started, I just remember thinking, like, holy cow, even doing a regular, like stepping up onto a box, PJ would literally have to stand in front of me, like with his hand in front of my knee, and just doing body weight box step ups where it was challenging. And I remember thinking, just, holy cow, when is this going to change? And then next thing I know, and it's not something you really pay attention to because you're just in the gym consistently, you know, you're doing those box step ups with a band and with dumbbells in your hands. And now that's what the new challenge is. So slowly building that up, but just, it's just kind of fun as a woman who, like I said, have been active already, to then just see first, like, the changes in myself physically. would notice that there was one day I went to work after lifting with PJ, and there was like this small mirror in my office, and it was kind of funny to me because I walk in and you see yourself every day. But I just happened to walk in and I caught a glimpse of myself. I was like, what is that? And I like took a closer look and I was like, and I noticed, I was like, wait a minute, I have a trap muscle. Like, when did that get there? It was just, and I was by myself and I just started laughing and I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Like, I don't know when that happened, but that's awesome. So just kind of slowly starting to see those physical changes. And then I had actually a couple of jiu-jitsu friends of mine comment, actually, they're going, man, Christina, like, you're carrying yourself so much differently now. Really? Like, I feel like I've always carried myself fairly well. And they told me, like, no, like, when you would walk around in here, they're like, you know, not to say that you didn't look like you had much confidence, but now watching you walk, and they kind of like imitate the posture that I had, they're like, you just seem like you just look a lot stronger and like more just confident in yourself. I was like, wow, oh, well, that's cool. And that, like I said, that was until after starting with the strength training as well. So, you know, being a female in a generally male predominant sport, which now thankfully jiu-jitsu with women is, it's blowing up, it's huge. But even when I first started, there weren't tons and tons of women training, you know, at your school, you're lucky if there's two or three other girls there. And that they're probably all at different class times too. But, you know, so hearing that from someone, from a teammate who's been training a long time and knows, you know, to pick up on that was really nice to hear. But recently, you know, I everyone and their brother has social media these days. You know, we all have Instagram, Facebook, and I think most of it is on Instagram, maybe just because I don't go on Facebook all too much. But, you know, I feel like every other post that I see from trainers or from, you know, fit chicks or whatever it is, it's all just butt pictures. It's all, you know, oh, let me find the perfect angle to stand at to make my butt look big, and oh, booty this and booty that. And it's, you know, trainers like, oh, guess what? It's hump day. And it's photos of everyone's butts. And they're, even trainers are just taking videos, recording women from the backside and posting them all over. Cause they know, well, if I just post a bunch of photos and videos and things of my clients' back ends, then I'm going to get all the likes and the shares and this. And, you know, for me, that's kind of disheartening because a woman has a whole lot more to offer than that. Right. And for myself, seeing the change that it's had in me and the way I carry myself and the way others perceive me as well, you know, it just, there's so much more to being a strong woman than having a great ass. You know, obviously if you're strength training and you have that well-rounded training, a good solid program, you're going to build a nice butt anyway. You know, it's just going to come with the territory. But to have that be the focus, and there's, you know, all these different booty trainers that specialize in, but you know, there are a couple guys out there, like, you know, Brett Contreras, I do follow him, and, you know, kudos to him. He found like a huge market, but he's studied the research behind it. He's proven what works, and he, you know, legitimately does that for work, you know, in addition to just building strength programs also. But for the most part, it's not like that. You know, it's just for the Instagram like, or, you know, what have you. And I think there's a whole lot more that women can discover if they decide, you know, I just want to be not even just strong, but physically just capable of doing things that they enjoy doing. You know, like for me, it's jiu-jitsu. For another woman, it might be playing with her kids at the park. You know, it's rock climbing, it's going for a bike ride, it's, you know, it's whatever it is that they enjoy doing. And it's so much more empowering when you realize, like, oh, I can do this, and not think, oh man, am I like gonna get tired after an hour of, you know, just going for a walk for an hour at night or whatever it is. You know, when you have that realization, I've got a couple of friends who started strength training with me too, and they'll text me every once in a while, like, hey, you know, it's really random. Like, I was at work the other day and I had to like climb up into this rafter because I forgot my ladder, and then I was doing this and I like climbed right through that thing, no problem. And they just kind of realize, like, oh man, all this, it's not something that they're thinking like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym so that I can climb through, you know, ceilings or whatever, attics and stuff. Like, that's not what you're thinking about when you're going to go work out. But then you see that translate over to just to everyday life of things you can do better.
Right.
It's a great feeling, you know, and you kind of have to have more than just a nice butt to be able to do that too. So I'm hoping that you know, right now I'm kind of shifting my own focus, really starting to put some content out there and encouraging women to just say, hey, you know what, let's break out of this box of everyone wants to build a nice butt, and let's just focus on developing ourselves physically to be the best that we can be so that we can have fun doing whatever it is we love.
Yeah, there's a pretty fine line between, you know, posting like a correct exercise, the way something that should be done, versus posting it just because your ass looks good during a deadlift, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Here's what the deadlift is good for versus the deadlift is only good for building a better ass. And it's, so I think you brought up a couple different interesting points, because Contreras, as awesome as his work is, like the barbell hip thrust that he's, I think, probably most known for, even that, which to be completely honest, I'm not even a huge fan of. I think there are different exercises out there that could be, that are a little safer, but even something as like that, it gets blown out of proportion, because then it's about how much weight can you add to that, you know? And then you have people injuring themselves because of where the bar is loaded and things like that. So there's all these different lines that people start to cross. And I think when you get into the vanity side of things versus what actual strength training does, because the reality is men and women can both increase muscle mass, right? Yeah. The more muscle mass you have, the better you're going to move, the less fat mass you're going to have. And there's, you know, the list goes on and on and on. If you focus on that and focus on doing exercise that improves your daily life, everything else, you'll end up looking good. It'll just happen.
Yep, exactly.
You know, I'm not taking anything away from the people who do bodybuilding, because there is a space and area for that. But people who just get into it and they see all the booty shots, they see all the ab pictures and all the aesthetics of it, instead of people saying, here's how I got my strong back, here's why, here's what it does for me. It's just, here's how many sets I did, here's how you can look like this too.
Yep.
And unfortunately, coming from a trainer, I have a hard time posting a picture of myself just talking about an exercise, let alone with my shirt off, flexing, doing an exercise. Like it's just really strange. Like where's the line between getting the likes versus helping people?
Right.
You know, like what do we have to do here? Is the more likes, if I get 1,000 likes on a picture, does that mean I'm helping half of them? Or does that mean, what does that mean? What good are those pictures actually doing? If they're inspiring people to go out and lift some heavy weights, then awesome. You know, I hope it does. But I hope that person that gets out there and starts lifting weights realizes all of the benefits that goes into strength training. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest one that you mentioned was the self-confidence. The confidence factor, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, male, female, it just improves your overall physical appearance, but that translates into more confidence. And when you know that you can go in and deadlift X amount of weight or bench press or do so many push-ups or whatever it is, you know you can do that in the gym. Imagine what you can do with that confidence outside of the gym.
Exactly.
The whole world opens up. Mm-hmm. Because strength training is hard. Like I don't want to sound like a meathead, but to make progress, it is hard, and you can't stay stagnant. You have to work hard at it. You have to be diligent, and you have to have self-discipline inside, outside the gym. Mm-hmm. Get enough sleep and exercise, just the right amount, nutrition, stress, and all this different kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, but if you think about the hardest thing that you have to do outside of the gym, man, anything inside the gym you could do. You could crush it. And you can go out and dominate your regular life too.
Exactly. And that's something that I preach a lot, you know, not just to my athletes, but with friends too, is that it's not just the physical side of things. It's the mindset that you have, because I could have been training with PJ for the last 4 years and come in and half-assed every workout, and I wouldn't be where I am.
No,
you have to have that you have to decide, like, this is what I want. And you're going to push yourself, because if you're just thinking like, oh, that's kind of challenging, you probably could do a lot more than you think you can. And just being able to recognize that and really push. And like you said, it's hard, you know, and there were times that it kind of ended up being a joke, and it's something that I used to drive me in the gym, is that I was always lifting in groups with three or four other guys because we were a jiu-jitsu group all training together. And I kind of took it as a challenge to myself, like, all right, I'm going to see how much weight I can move safely, obviously, and you know, push these guys. And so we would joke because, like, say they were doing, I don't even, even if it's like use like the hip lift as an example, that I would end up doing the same weight as someone else who weighs 185, 200 pounds. And I'm going, what's going on with this guy? Just teasing them, you know, we're all training the same amount in here. How is it that I'm doing the same as you? Or usually PJ would be the one to say something, but that mindset then has to carry outside of here, because I have certain athletes now saying who they come in, they're motivated, they're excited to lift. And then when they walk out the door, it's, oh man, I still got it. Like they're not necessarily choosing like the healthiest option for food, or they're not, their schedule is so insane that they're not scheduling enough sleep for themselves. And right. So they see some progress, but not enough, not the same as if they would dial everything else in as well. So like you said, with that mindset, it comes with the discipline and the positivity too, of being able to tell yourself, no, you can accomplish this, because it's when you start to think, nah, I probably can't do that, or, oh, I'm too busy, or, oh, it's not a priority for you. You know, and you have to make it a priority and be honest with yourself and say, hey, like, if this is really a priority, then I have to do X, Y, and Z, and make those hours count, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think, Christina, is it going to take to change the culture from your standpoint? The culture of like females and exercise and what you want to see happen.
Sure. You know, I think it's just going to be one woman realizing it at a time, honestly, with putting themselves out there and seeing, because again, something else that's always been really important for me is being a really good role model for anyone else that I come in contact with. And, you know, I have a lot of other smaller women who have always, you know, are told, oh, girls can't do push-ups, girls can't do pull-ups, girls can't do this. And so I think that's part of the reason is like, I don't want to end up looking bulky. I don't want to look like a man, you know? And that's definitely not what strength training is. Like I can say like, yeah, I have muscle, I'm fit, I look toned, but I don't look like a guy. You know, I very much look like a female, and I feel like it's empowering to feel feminine, but also feel really strong and confident, and know that I'm capable of doing things that I want to do. And so I think it's going to be just getting that message out there to show women, hey, you can do a push-up, you can do a pull-up, you can do all these things. You're not just capable of building a nice ass, because they come in and they think, well, I don't want to lift that, I don't want to do that, I probably can't do a pull-up anyway, I've never been able to do a real push-up my whole life, so, but you know what I can do is I can build my ass to look really nice. So they just do that, you know. And I think it's showing women and really getting the message out that you can do that, you know. And I know a lot of women, there's a woman I used to coach jiu-jitsu, and she never thought that she would be able to do a push-up. She'd always done, you know, with the traditional like girl push-ups, as people call them. And after training for a while, she came up to me one day, she said, Christina, I can do a real push-up now. I've never been able to do that my whole life. And she's 33, 34, I think. And so, you know, it's never too late for someone to get in and do it. You know, ever since I've decided to make this my mission of helping women to realize that they can be strong and fit and confident and sexy and feel good about themselves, that I've had other women reach out that's like, you know what, strength training, you're right, it's awesome. Like, I just decided, you know, 2 years ago that I really started lifting weights, and I love mountain biking now, and I'm 54 years old and I'm in the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
And it's like, that goes to show you, like, you know, you don't have to be just young in your early 20s and have that fit body and think like, oh, my 20s are gone, it's over now.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be that in that good a shape ever again in my life. You're wrong. You know, strength training, like you said, if you keep showing up and you put in that time, the results are going to come. You know, I didn't start, people see me now and they're like, oh man, you look awesome. And they think that I've been in this shape my whole life. And then I show them like a before and after photo, like maybe like one of my college photos to now. And they're like, you looked like that? Yeah, I did. I sure did. A big chipmunk cheeks and everything, like not real whole lot of definition anywhere. You know, not, I wasn't like fat, but I wasn't fit either, you know? And now it's like, it takes a lot of hard work. And so I think it's just going to be more trainers, more women empowering each other and kind of breaking out of that barrier. Cause even I have to say here at the gym where I work, you know, we've got a good, really solid group of people here in that, you know, they all support each other. Everyone is good friends and such like that. But it's a lot of the same, like there's guys build their main thing is, oh, I'm the booty, this is the booty guy. I'm the booty king. I'm the booty this. And then they're taking pictures of this. But like, since I've just really recently, within the last week or so, really recent, started putting these out there, a lot of different ones have approached me and said, hey, I think what you're doing is really cool. Like it's something that I think a lot more women need to hear. And it kind of surprised me. And it was actually very exciting for me because it's something that I care so much about to see just how much people resonate with that message of, you know what? I don't have to post a picture in my thong to feel confident in myself and see how many likes I can get. Like, let's see what else I can do with my body and how strong and physically capable I can be and go from there. And it's been, like I said, it's been super empowering for me, and I couldn't be more excited to keep doing what I'm doing now because it's something, like I said, that it's important to me. And I've seen, obviously, like I said, what's done for myself and what it's done for other women who I know have had similar experiences and just spreading that to as many people as possible.
Yeah. I think you can cycle all of that back to something you said earlier, and I had put it in quotes on my notes here before you even said it, but that just the term girl pushups or girl pull-ups.
Yep.
Can we like all agree that they're assisted pushups and assisted pull-ups? Mm-hmm. That girls, like they have the same anatomy overall, like the same, you know, like the muscle structure may be a little different. We might be able to pack on muscle a little faster, but like a push-up's a push-up, whether it's assisted, whether it's, you know, a full, why do we have to label, why is that a girl push-up? Because they're weaker, because they're less than, like that's just a weird concept to me. Even when I'm training people, they're like, oh, sorry, I have to do a girl push-up. I'm like, can you just call it assisted? That's an assisted push-up. You'll start there, you'll end with a full push-up. Mm-hmm. And I get kind of serious about it because the more you joke about it, the less it feels like it's you know, degrading or just people just kind of brush it off. Oh, ha ha ha. But no, it's something that really happens.
Yep.
And I don't know why we have to keep it there. And like you said, and I like this mind frame of being consistent over time will equal results. Whatever the results, whatever that looks like to you, it just takes consistency over a longer period of time than most people want to like recognize, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But that's awesome that you're like reaching people who are kind of on the other spectrum of that, because especially right now, that's such like a moneymaker for people, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what people want to be known. They want to be known for one item. And you know what, in a year or so, it's going to be on to, I don't know, calves or like, you know, or something like obscure. I have the best, I'm the forearm guy or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But things change so fast.
They do.
But people get sucked into something and it's hard to break free of that. And so I think what you're doing, especially with the group of people that you surround yourself with, I think what you're doing is awesome. And people need to kind of wake up and realize the strength training thing, because strength training in general is, as long the how we know it now, at least, because it's been going on for a very, very long time, but how we know it now is relatively new within the past like 40 to 50 years. You know, so this idea, I feel like everybody's still kind of coming to grips with with what's the proper approach to take and what exercises are good for some and not for others. But if you break it down and you keep it really simple, we realize that all this simple strength training is good for every single person. Yeah. And the more we realize the benefits of it besides just building muscle that looks good, because that's great. Like, who doesn't want to, you know, take their clothes off and look great? Mm-hmm. But it just to be fully clothed and to feel confident in your ability to accomplish tasks. I don't know if there's anything much more fulfilling than that in terms of our field, you know?
Yeah, completely. And actually something that you mentioned earlier made me think with the way we're reaching people too, because there's so much great information out there too.
But
the trouble is, I feel like now that I'm thinking about it, all the really good information like that can a lot of times is presented in a very scientific way, which the general population who aren't, you know, trainers or researchers or things like that, they're going to get five words in and think this is over my head. Being able to change the message a little bit to reach people so that the random person who's sitting at home on their couch debating what they should do can be like, oh, this is like, it's something that it's communicated to them in a very simple manner that it's like, it's just straightforward. There's no extra crazy lingo in it, you know, and it's just, hey, this is how you do this exercise. And you should do it in about, you know, maybe this many reps or this many sets, or aim for this and just try it. See how it goes.
And here are the benefits of X, Y, and Z.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, unfortunately, the bummer of it is like basic strength training principles are not sexy and they're not attractive. Like it's relatively kind of boring. but the things that sell are the things that, you know, you put like somebody who's built like The Rock in the photo and you have them lifting and doing something crazy that most of the general public aren't going to be able to do. I don't know. It's not appealing to most people, and it freaks people out. And then they get that idea of what weightlifting and strength training is. And you're like, exactly. Oh my gosh, it's so much simpler than that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Cause my mom is like, she's a petite woman. She's smaller than I am. And it's just funny cause she, it's been a while now, but like a couple years back, she came to watch me work out and she's like sitting there almost biting her nails, just thinking, oh my gosh, honey, you're really going to pick that up? Are you really gonna do that?
Like, right.
Yeah, mom, it's fine. Like, why are you concerned right now? And I think it's that kind of intimidation factor too, that a lot of us will go into the gym and have no idea what to do. Like that was me too. Like in college when I decided, you know what, I need to start doing something active again because I'm not doing enough. And I used to go in the gym, be like, oh, that machine looks good and that machine looks good, and just make it up as I went. And obviously didn't see a whole lot of, like, I saw some results because it was better than the nothing I was doing before. But, you know, once you really learn what to do and you have someone to help you and guide you and teach you the proper mechanics of the lifts and just doing the move well, like you said, not necessarily even doesn't even have to be with a lot of weight on it till you've really mastered that position and are confident in it where you're not going to get hurt. Then you can start adding some more load, you know. It's intimidating. Like I have a girlfriend I was talking to last week about it. And she's like, Christina, I am so intimidated to even go to the gym. I feel like there's no place for me. Like I'm so out of shape that going in a lot of people who are in there, they're like at least kind of fit. They sort of look like they know what they're doing. I go to a yoga class and everyone in there is like a yogi. And I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I just don't even know where to start because they have that intimidation factor. And so I think, you know, having that setting at the gym that's welcoming and supportive and not kind of that, like you said, that degrading sort of like, oh, okay, well, we'll just have you just do girl pushups and we'll just have you do this. Cause automatically that's making the woman think like, oh, well, this is what I thought I could do anyway. This is just about as far as I thought I was capable of, and not helping them to recognize how much more they actually can do with more time and with the right guidance.
That's a good point. Especially now though, like, you know, if your girlfriend got online and she starts looking out, you know, basic exercises or something like that, well, hell, you've got yoga, you've got TRX classes, you've got spin classes, you have CrossFit, you have powerlifting, you've got Pilates. You've got 15 different kinds of Pilates. You've got, you know, there's how many different classes and how many different ways to do things. Yeah, eventually you just have to try something and hope it's like right for you and safe for you. But if you can get a hold of somebody who's knowledgeable and who's been there and done that, like yourself or anybody that you're working with, and get some guidance, you know, people, I think us as professionals also need to do a better job. And you kind of hit on this with the research articles, of explaining our position as the professionals. You know, we're not here to make everybody look like the next LeBron James.
Right.
We are here to improve each individual. You know, it's like your your friend, whatever her goals and accomplishments are, us explaining here's what it's going to take to reach those, and here's the game plan we have. That's, I think, not for everybody. I like to think that I have a pretty good grasp on explaining those kind of things, and it sounds like you do too, and obviously PJ does, and a lot of other coaches out there. But people, especially that are just getting into personal training, might have that idea of, well, I'm going to do everything for my clients that came out of Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodybuilding Bible book, and that's what we're going to do. And unfortunately, it's not an all one. It's not an all a one size fits all. So
exactly.
One thing I did want to ask you, though, that I didn't bring up earlier, is what if you were designing a program for jiu-jitsu, what would that program kind of look like in terms of strength training?
You know, I think with that, everyone has to start with just those basic fundamental movements. Because if you don't have a strong foundation to build off of, you're not going to make the progress, you know, regardless. So, you know, being able to teach the squat pattern and know that they can squat properly, you know, they don't have their different, the God knows how many issues you can have with the way you squat, having a safe, you know, pelvis position and spine position and all of that. But a lot of it is first just teaching those movements and getting stronger through those before then changing it to look something more like, okay, well, this person is going to be competing, you know, in 3 months. So we're doing a strength phase, and then we're doing a power phase, and we're doing this. So doing some more of those different contrast movements as well. But with that programming, I think a lot of it with jiu-jitsu guys, because we get in some really weird positions that are not those traditional, like, okay, I'm going to deadlift, I'm going to squat, I'm going to, you know, lunge or whatever it is, you know, but being able to think, okay, in jiu-jitsu, I'm going to have to hold this guy in this choke and break his posture and be constantly squeezing. And then boom, at the next moment when he moves, I need to be ready to explode out of that position. So a lot of like, a lot of the stuff we do with our guys is like tempo based or isometric or eccentric and things like that. And then exploding out of bottom positions where, say, you know, if you're doing like a slow, like eccentric squat, and then we've got, you know, maybe even we've done as much as like a 6 second isometric hold at the bottom and then exploding out of that bottom position, where maybe you're trying to take a guy down, you're kind of stuck underneath him and you're driving. And then boom, you need to be able to explode out of that bottom position. And so just thinking about how the training is going to transfer over in that way. A lot of pulling for us for sure.
Especially with strength.
The grip strength, and it's crazy how much sneaky grip things you can tie into just a regular strength program, without it being like, oh, we're going to work on grips today. You know, whether it's just adding in, you're doing heavy RDLs and your grip is already going to be fatigued from that. And then you're also doing heavy dumbbell rows, and then you're doing, you know, farmer carries or what have you. By the end of that session, your grips are going to be probably toast, but it's going to build up as well. But a lot of those positions, like I said, you know, you're in jiu-jitsu, especially you're learning, okay, I can't squeeze 100% for 3 seconds because right when they're about to tap, I'm going to get fatigued and I'm going to let go. But being able to hold just a consistent pressure at 75%, and then eventually the person's going to tap and such like that. But so a lot of the training that we do is based around that, and becoming and getting a little bit more athletic. Because what's funny about jiu-jitsu to me too is that it really brings all different kinds of people together. There are so many people that you think, whoa, like I probably never would have met this person if it wasn't for jiu-jitsu. And you're just completely different, but then you find jiu-jitsu and it's, you have that commonality there. But it's funny because what we've noticed too with a lot of our jiu-jitsu athletes is there's coordination on the mat, but in the gym, you're like, whoa, where did it go? You know, they're killer on the mat, and then you see them try to squat or something, and you're going, holy cow, we got a lot of work to do. Like,
yeah.
it's comical because you just think, man, if I was to get on the mat with this guy, like he could choke me six ways to Sunday in about 30 seconds and I'd have no idea what happened. But you put them in the gym and then they just like what is happening? So a lot of it even is just building those good habits and those good patterns to start. Because surprisingly, a lot of jiu-jitsu athletes don't have that foundation already.
Yeah, and I'm glad you made it very like simple, because a lot of people, they automatically think, you know, there's got to be individual sports needs. People think that there's going to be like this one magic exercise or two that's going to make you the ultimate at football, baseball, basketball, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When it boils down to it, you're already using the same muscles in every single sport. So practice your sport, be good at your sport, get strong, and everything else is going to happen. Like everything just kind of folds into one place. You know, you can learn those movements, be technical on and off the mat, and everything will just kind of fold into where it's supposed to be. But that's really funny what you said about like the athleticism, because I see it when I've got a couple of guys who are high-level cyclists, and man, when you see them on the bike, like their mental focus is just so intense, and they're riding like everything is stable, everything's moving good, and they're like perfect riding form. And then when I hand them like a dumbbell to do like a front squat, and I've been, you know, training for years and years and years, you're like, wait, stop, where'd that form go? Like, hey, straighten up, you know, head up, open your eyes, you know, those kind of things happen. Uh-huh. But you know, that's where coaching comes into play. And that's kind of what makes my job more enjoyable too. But it is kind of funny when you see like the reverse happen. You're like, oh, this shouldn't be a problem at all. What the hell happened?
Yeah. And it never fails to make me laugh. And then when we all kind of joke about it, we're like, man, what happened there?
No, honestly though, it's kind of like, I like it because it's like job security for us.
Yeah. That's
like,
true.
Oh, good. You still need me. Perfect.
Yep. Right. Exactly. Like, cool. You're a top level athlete, but where did that athleticism go in here?
What's going on? I like it. Mm-hmm. Well, Christina, I appreciate you taking the time to share your passion, and it's pretty clear that you're on a pretty good road to success. And I think that what the words that you have to say and what you're trying to spread definitely needs to be heard right now. And if people want to reach out and connect more, where's the best place to do that?
Sure. If they're looking for like email, it's just my name, Christina, it's the CH, and then at coachpjnessler.com. And then on Instagram is probably where I'm the most active is, what is my Instagram? coach_ Christina Marie is what it is. I mean,
okay, perfect.
Because I'm sometimes a little crazy here. Let's see. Nope, that is it. Okay. Yeah. coach_ Christina Marie on Instagram. And then I do have a Facebook page as well, but I'm still working on developing that.
Good. Well, I hope people do reach out to you and take the time to ask more questions and learn more and get to know you as a coach. So, Christina, I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Eric. I appreciate it.